Welcome back to the Real Arsenal Deal podcast. This is Rav, your host. Wherever you are in the world, thank you so much for tuning in and welcome. I'm recording this Thursday evening Melbourne time over here in a sunny but cold Australia. We've just ticked over winter now in the first week of June. So it also means that the first transfer window has opened. I'm still trying to get my head around this. I've read it many, many times, but I'm still trying to figure it out. So it's like the first week of the transfer window will close on June the 10th, because then shortly after the Club World Cup commences, that farce of a tournament. I still don't even know what that is, to be completely honest. I've got very little interest in it. Then I believe the window again, is it July 1st? It will open. I've absolutely botched this. I'm sorry, but it speaks to my confusion. This is like the window before the window, and then there's the wider transfer window, which will run in the more traditional time frame. And deadline day will be like August 31-ish at 11 p.m., I believe. Yeah. How's that for an opening? Even I'm confused. For a moment there, when I said the window before the window, I'm reminded of, for anyone who used to watch Jersey Shore, I can't even believe I'm making this reference on an Arsenal podcast, but the way the guys used to say, this is the shirt before the shirt. They'd be dressed, but before they go out clubbing and hit the town, they'd have their freshly ironed shirt up on the wall, and they'd be wearing a temporary shirt and only wear the fresh shirt when it's time to go out. So is this the equivalent of the window before the window? I don't know, but what a random aside. If you've made it this far, thank you for putting up with my side tangent. So suffice to say, Arsenal have not conducted any business as yet, and some other clubs have. And I understand that there's been some, disgruntled, frustrated element amongst sections of the fan base that are frustrated by that. But if you look at it through the lens of what I just said, like literally the window has just opened, and this is just that window before the window. I promise I'll stop saying that. So look, it's nothing to be overly concerned or worry about. I thought I'd pop back on and just record a couple of thoughts, even though there's nothing confirmed for Arsenal as yet, and that the same rumors and links swirl, as we've pretty much known for some period of time, right? Who Arsenal are heavily linked with, Zubimendi, obviously. That's a lot of work has been put into that deal from Sociedad, and Benjamin Sesko or Victor Gyökeres. That ongoing discussion continues. Nothing concrete as yet on either front. But look, I thought I'd just come back on to address, I guess, how do I explain this? There's some concepts that in life that I think parallel. Sometimes football fandom and the way we perceive things also parallels life. So there's perceived pressure and actual pressure, and there's false urgency versus actual urgency. So I'll try and explain that. Firstly, perceived pressure is when you think that you're under a lot more intense pressure than you actually are. What the reality suggests versus that internal stress or anxiety that comes with thinking, oh no, all these other clubs are active, they're doing business and they're closing deals, and Ornstein's tweeting that United are closing in on Brian and Bueno, and then you think to yourself, well, look, he wasn't one of our targets. As good as he is, and look, I got to say, I really like him. He's had a fantastic season for Brentford. I think he's an automatic improvement to Arsenal's squad. However, when you really, really drill down and think about it, his best work comes off the right, and it's a very hard sell for someone who's a guaranteed starter. He starts every match for Brentford and will do the same for United. It's a very hard sell to get him to come across to Arsenal, deputise or rotate with Bukayo Saka on the right, and or try and redeploy him, redevelop him elsewhere across the front three. It's just a very, very hard sell to do. So as much as I'm disappointed with him going to United, because I don't like United at all. In fact, I despise many of these teams, no more than Chelsea, who I'll get to in a moment. But what I'm trying to say is that as much as I can dislike other teams being strengthened that I don't particularly favour, I can also recognise that, hey, look, it's okay, because he's not a primary target for Arsenal. It's just, for a number of reasons, it's not that particularly realistic. And whoever we have our sights set on, I believe it's going to happen inevitably. It's separate. It's separate to what the business that we're conducting. So for me, that's false urgency. Same with Chelsea signing Delap. He's very good, by the way. He really is. But again, look where they are. That they won that joke of a competition. What's it called? Conference Cup, the Conference League, or whatever it's called. And they've just scraped into the top five. Like they're not directly vying with Arsenal. He's not someone that I particularly would have wanted. And let's be honest, as a fandom, Arsenal fandom is quite reactionary, is quite quite sensationalist sometimes. If we announce tomorrow that we are signing Liam Delap after all the ongoing discourse and disgruntlement about Arsenal needing that world-class centre forward, right, you know, to take us to the next level, and we didn't do it last summer, and we've been inactive and sitting on our hands, and the opportunity for trophies is ticking over, blah blah blah, all that whole narrative that I see regurgitated all the time. Even though, look, I've stepped right back from social media. I can't. It's just not for me. It's just too toxic. Yes, I use Blue Sky, and it's much more conducive to rational discussion, and I'm very selective about who I follow, and I very, very heavily curated my news feed. So that works for me. Every now and then, when I go and look at when I click the comments on an Ornstein tweet, for example, it's just a pile on with Arsenal. Like it's not rational, and I don't think it's a logical representation of the mentality of where this club actually is in terms of its board level thinking, its executive thinking versus that element of the fan base. But anyway, the point I'm trying to make is, had Arsenal announced tomorrow that we'd sign Liam Delap, you can't tell me that would have satisfied the fan. It just wouldn't have. There would have been, the whole narrative would have been, what are you thinking? He's not good enough. It's come from Ipswich. You know, we need someone to, I can just picture it. So again, the only reason I'm citing these examples is that's like perceived pressure. We don't need to be announcing and finalizing those transactions because they're not for us. We have our targets. I mean, it's been very evident from months ago when Andrea Berta was signed in that we know who we are seeking. A lot of the groundwork has been done when you think about how long we've been linked with Martin Zubimendi and Benjamin Sesko. Now, again, it remains to be seen if/when those transactions are finalised. I totally get that. Until they're holding up the Arsenal shirt and you see it published on Arsenal.com, even I don't believe it, of course. So it remains to be seen. However, we have our targets in mind, and negotiations, discussions, all those things are ongoing. Because even though Andrea Berta is relatively new, I also need to remember that there's a whole team behind the scenes. It's a collective effort. So it's not like he's just come in now and picked up the phone to Martin Zubimendi's and his representatives. No. That would have been long conducted by, over the course of time by Edu and the associations underneath, the lawyers, right? The lawyers or Arsenal's lawyers. I mean, Tim Lewis himself. It's quite likely his firm, I believe, that does a lot of contract consulting for Arsenal and for KSE, for the Cronkies. So they would be all over the finite details around release clauses, the contract terms, its conditions, what Benjamin Sesko's actual price tag is, you know, as opposed to what's been reported out through various areas of the media. So all of these things, they have continuity. So it'll be the same representatives and agents that have been talking to the same groups of people affiliated with Arsenal, internal and external consultants, intermediaries. So there's been ongoing dialogue. Just because Edu exits and now Andrea Berta has started, those ongoing relationships have been established for quite some time, and I'm confident that will be much more conducive to finalising and closing deals. Martin Zubimendi, for example, from what I understand from the Gunner blog, James McNicholas article from a few days ago, please check that out if you haven't. He's very articulate, very well informed, chooses his words very well, very wisely. So from my understanding, it is just, it's effectively a formality. It's just waiting for the right announcement in the correct accounting period to suit Sociedad. Now, I think based on the last 12 to 18 months of Arsenal's spending, what we have tremendous capacity in the current financial year, which runs until June 30. So maybe it'll be an ideal for us to book that transaction in the current financial year, in the current climate, where you know Arsenal are performing very well in terms of our accounts. The Champions League revenue alone is estimated to be around 110 million euro from making the semi-final. I mean that is brilliant. That is absolutely outstanding, and it really bolsters the balance sheet, bolsters us in terms of our financial capability. Ideally, we probably would have booked it in the current financial year because we weren't active in January as well. But you know, every now and then, like in terms of conducting yourselves in a amicable and professional, respectful manner, sometimes you abide by the wishes of the corresponding parties. So if Sociedad have said, look, it suits them from a financial standpoint to book it in next year's accounts starting July 1, then, you know, so be it. It's just one of the things that you do. It's just a good way to conduct business from time to time. Remembering 2 years ago when Arsenal had spent very, very heavily in that particular financial year. And remember, there's that three-year PSR rolling cycle, right? So we just outlaid 105 million for Declan Rice that we'd booked in. Kai Havertz was a big transaction, 65 million. Urien Timber, 40 plus million. So we went to Brentford and said, look, we want David Raya. We don't want to make it permanent now. Can we structure the transaction this way, give them the 3 million loan fee with the, I believe it was an obligation to buy for 27, that we then booked in the following financial year. And Brentford, to the credit, you know, shook hands and that they obliged. So it's give and take. It goes both ways. Sometimes we can do favorable transactions to suit the counterparties, and sometimes vice versa, they do the same for us. So if, from what I understand, that's the spirit of the arrangement, that Zubimendi is all but done, just waiting finalization. So I, like I said before, I hope it happens, because if it doesn't, if he ends up elsewhere and he's holding up a Real Madrid shirt right instead in July 1, then much of what I've said now is pretty much moot, is irrelevant. But from what I understand, the amount of groundwork been put into that deal, it's going to come into fruition. It's just a matter of time. So speaking of time, false urgency is the other concept I was going to briefly talk about. So false urgency is when you think that you're actually under more time pressure to do a task than you actually are. So I do believe that's what's happening now as well. We've got this, we're in a very heavily saturated world at the moment. Like, transfers didn't used to be like this. I've followed the club since 1995. And look, comparing that era to now, obviously it's incomparable because of social media and the internet and handheld devices and being bombarded with information, right, for better or for worse. But back then, I just used to read about a new signing in the days after it was announced. It's just like, okay, a new player signed for Arsenal somewhere in the inside back pages of an Australian-based newspaper, I'd come across it, right? And then, you know, fast forward over the decades, and it just wasn't like this. You didn't have every single movement or every single discussion or every single phone call or agents meeting or an agent spotted in a certain city, you know, with a certain representative of a firm that consults with, you know, a sporting director and what. You just didn't have that. So I don't necessarily think that's a good thing because it can lead to a lot of false expectations too, getting hopes up of deals or transactions and links that were not genuine to begin with. It's just been pieced together by someone perhaps meaning well, or sometimes perhaps not, just trying to start start some circle work on Twitter or whatnot, or for a following. So you just don't know. You just have to question everything. Question the source. Whenever you read something, trace it back. Like, who is saying it? Where is it originated from? And what was actually said? Because when people paraphrase something, it can actually be entirely different to what was originally said. So it's all in the detail. Make sure that you're across the detail before you really get too swept away in what it is that you think is being said. So I think there's a lot of false urgency happening right now. Arsenal do not need to conduct all of our business by this point of the year. It's literally the first week of June. Now, as a fan myself, of course, do I want swift transactions? Do I want our major business done and not being dragged out to deadline day like it was last year when, you know, we all of a sudden panic loaned Neto in the closing days? I don't think it was deadline day. I think it was maybe a day or two before, but Sterling certainly was late on deadline day. Like, do I want this happen again? No, it was very un-Arsenal-like, or very unrecent Arsenal-like, and quite unprofessional as well. And boy, did it cost us. I didn't need to go through all that again, right? Because I've covered that in previous recordings, as I'm sure everyone else has as well. That was not good business. It just wasn't. And my goodness, were we punished to the maximum for that over the course of the season? So do I want swift business done? Do I want all our targets nailed and done and published and announced and on that plane and pre-season? Yes, of course I do. Of course I do. However, that's not happening until early July, I believe. There'll be the training camp in Spain, in Marbella, I believe. And then one by one, players reintegrate back to London. And then there'll be that major pre-season tour where they fly over. I think they fly into Singapore and then Hong Kong. So that's when you want... That's when you want the major signings done. Whoever the new striker is, you want him on that plane. The youth players that will hopefully be stepping up, such as Max Damen, you know, they'll be there. You want a fit and firing Gabriel Magalhães back. You want Havertz back. You want all your key stars refreshing, recuperating, training. Ben White with the summer off. You know, you want them all on that plane. Of course you do. Of course you do. Right now, though, the first week of June, it is not the time for panic stations. Not that I'm suggesting anyone is, of course, certainly not. I'm sure Arsenal are not, but don't get too caught up or swept away in what other clubs are doing. Remember, we know what we need to do. It's been pretty evident for a long, long time, and we would have our targets, and negotiations, discussions would be going on. Even as I speak, it would be all happening between all the relevant parties. So let's just wait and see when we announce our business. And sometimes the order of which we conduct business doesn't always reflect, or it's not always measured within in terms of order of priority. So in terms of, like, what I mean by that is that when you see links with Leroy Sané, right? Look, as much as I doubt it will happen, because how many times have Arsenal been used as a bartering tool with Bayern Munich players, right, out of contract, and then a couple of weeks later they got that bumper new deal from their same club and they go again. So I'm just citing Sané as an example. You don't need to get too worried about that, thinking, what? After all this talk about a new forward, a new strike or something, we're going to get Sané? This is ridiculous. This is a joke. No. It's not about that at all. Sometimes the links... You can't control the timing of them, and it doesn't always correspond with the order of business, because I think we all know what our order of business should be in terms of priorities. We need that centre forward, that second goalkeeper. We've obviously got a hole to fill in midfield with Jorginho leaving and quite possibly Partey. It remains to be seen. So it doesn't always match up to the priorities. However, come that departure date in July, when the team flies out for pre-season and we want our main signings there, right, I'd still believe those spots in the squad will be filled. And look, it remains to be seen, of course. We still need to go and make it happen. But now is not the time to have all those things ticked off and attended to. It'll be okay. So don't worry, don't panic is my main takeaway, my main message of this recording. It's all good. It'll be okay. I believe the right people are in charge. I think Arteta will get the support he's been craving for. He'll get the support this summer because we just have to. I've said so many times right now that you don't come this far, you don't come to the precipice of the pinnacle of the mountain, and you don't abandon. You don't go back to base camp. You keep going because we are so damn close. Arsenal look good. Arsenal are so good. This may not satisfy anyone, and I totally get it because, like, what does this actually mean? But when I look at how PSG dismantled Inter Milan on the weekend, and boy, are they good. They're fantastic. They really are. Of course, they have the highest wage bill in the world, and they're state-funded, so they're in a league of their own there. It's, you know, that is what it is, unfortunately. It's not a level playing field. And it certainly wasn't a level playing field when we took them on in the semi-final with how undermanned we were. We had them on toast. We played them off the park. We were so damn good in that opening 20 minutes of the second leg that from the 7th, 8th minute, Donnarumma is faking a shoulder injury. He's on the deck. He knows that he needs to suck minutes out of the game, take the sting out of the tail. He knows he needs to stop our momentum because he was the difference. Yes, he was the difference with his saves, but also he knew what he was doing in that moment. When he faked that shoulder injury, he knew just what he was doing. We played them off the park. We were that good. Arteta, to his credit, he got all the players up for that. As indifferent as the season was and as disappointed as it was in the Premier League and the other competitions, boy, were the players up for that. They believed. They absolutely believed. Just like 12 months before when we took City to the final day and you saw Kai Havertz essentially in tears after scoring the winner against Everton on the last day when he realised it's not going to be enough to lift the Premier League trophy, they believe. They believe in each other. They believe in the manager. And my goodness, we are good. It doesn't mean they automatically win trophies. I get it. And you're probably listening to this and thinking, Rav, what does that actually mean? I don't care about XG. I don't care about all that stuff because we didn't win. And we end up with nothing. And I get it. And that sucks. And yeah, it burns. It stings. It leaves that nasty feeling in the stomach. And like we've got just the manager, right, to channel that. We've got the players. We've got the group. Look at their age. Look at the age curve. Look at the upside we've got. Look at the players that should hopefully touch would be returning back fit and reintegrating with the team. Look at the bench we put out against PSG. We really had not much to work with. But my God, my goodness, we played them off the park. We were that good and the margins are so fine. The element of luck was not in our favour. If one of those goals go in, right, we had them. We were that good. And you don't abandon things now, right? Like we've seen glimpses of what we're capable of. Get those new signings done. Strengthen and level up that bench for impactors to change the game when we need to. Get some players off and resting like Bukayo and Kai Havertz and Ben White, who I already mentioned, and get them back going. Gabriel, Saliba's got a hamstring injury now as well. I mean, even if we made the final, we'd be playing a back four without Timber, Saliba and Gabriel. I mean, it's just been one of those seasons, how much it sucks for Arsenal in terms of our injury luck or lack of luck. So you don't abandon things now. You believe, you reinvest, right, and you go again and you support each other, you support the manager, you support the players. You correct the mistakes that we've made over the last, you know, year or two in terms of our inaction, and we make it happen this summer, and we go big. We go big, and great things await Arsenal next season. I absolutely believe it. So hang in there, everyone. Right, I wish I had actual genuine transactions to talk about and reflect on and talk about player profiles and signings and all that cool stuff we love hearing about. But I'm confident it is what it is. It'll just be a little bit longer. So just be patient. Keep believing. It will happen. I'll hop back on again, hopefully in the next few days with some more news and developments and see where it takes us. But as always, as I end every recording, thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate all of the feedback. I read every single comment I'm lucky enough to receive. If you'd be kind enough to please like the video on YouTube and subscribe if you want to, on the podcast platforms Apple or Spotify, if you'd be kind enough to please consider leaving me a review, it would greatly boost the visibility and engagement. I would be most grateful for that. So thank you again, everyone, for listening. I'll leave it there for now, and I'll hop back on again soon. Until then, look after yourselves, look after your mental health, your well-being, stay safe, look after your loved ones as well, and come on, Arsenal.